This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
One of the reasons Donald Trump won the presidency is that millions of Americans now believe they are being conned on immigration. Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party had absolutely no interest in being responsible on the issue of people traveling to the USA illegally, or even protecting Americans from vicious foreign criminals already here. In fact, the far-left wing of the Democratic Party actually wants open borders and blanket amnesty for the undocumented living all across the country. Never mind, that would create a dangerous security nightmare and run up far more government debt. Liberal zealotry sees America as a nation driven by white privilege and wants to flood the USA with new citizens. The fewer restraints, the better. And it doesn't matter that Hillary Clinton might not be that extreme. She put forth no vision on immigration other than the status quo, which has been a colossal failure. Thus, Trump's tough guy approach to enforcing immigration law propelled his campaign, despite the unending charges of racism that came his way. So now the question becomes, what is a fair policy in this most emotional of arenas? For that, return to Australia, a nation of about 24 million people, but with a land mass almost exactly the same as America. And we have 325 million people. So there's plenty of room to roam down under. Australia has a stone-cold policy on illegal entry. If you're caught, you are forcibly taken by the Aussie military to remote locations in the South Pacific, where you can either sit for years or to be deported home. Australia accepts less than 15,000 migrants a year on a humanitarian basis. Recently announced it would take 12,000 Syrian refugees on top of that, but even more recently, the Obama administration said it would take more than 2,000 refugees currently languishing in the South Pacific, human beings that Australia refuses to bring to its mainland. Now, my question is, why not? Why won't the Aussies take these poor people? Surely desperate people in South Asia or Central America, for that matter, deserve sympathy. During my time in El Salvador, I visited folks who were actually living in caves. Dogs in America have more comforts. Judeo-Christian philosophy compels its followers to embrace the poor. And it seems that rejecting asylum seekers and migrants goes against that tenet. Thus, the far left demonizes those who call for restrictions on illegal immigration, saying they're bad people. That's what the Sanctuary City movement's all about. But you don't hear much condemnation of Australia. And inside that country, both political parties, liberals and conservatives, support the tough immigration laws. There's little moral debate. By the way, if Perth, for example, declared itself a sanctuary city, had big trouble with the Aussie military, which, as I stated, actually enforces immigration law. And a general reports directly to the government in Canberra. Australians generally believe that undocumented migrants destabilize their country and put themselves at grave physical risk by crossing oceans to get down under. Also, Aussie politics have created a generous welfare state that works for a small population. That entitlement culture would be overwhelmed and go broke if mass illegal immigration was accepted, as it has been here in the USA. Simply put, Australians do not want the enormous disruption that immigration chaos causes. So, they're sending more than 2,000 poor souls here. Folks, they should assimilate, and Barack Obama is happy to take them. Are we chumps, or are we the most compassionate nation on earth? President Trump will have his hands full trying to figure out how to get things under control on the immigration front. Here is what Talking Points recommends. A moratorium on refugees for 1 year until Trump's new Homeland Security Department can reorganize and set up intense vetting procedures. Right now, under the Obama administration, the feds cannot properly investigate refugees who want to come here. The system is broken. All undocumented people already here must register with the feds at their local post offices within 6 months. It becomes a felony if they fail to do that, and immediate deportation if they're caught. unregistered. By the way, we told you very early on in the presidential campaign that mass deportations would not take place if Donald Trump were elected president. Speaker of the House Paul Ryan confirmed that yesterday.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. As always, good to have you along with us. How you doing? It's just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Dr. Herb London is with us right now, president of the London Center for Policy Research. Dr. Herb, how you doing?
To hear your voice, Bill. Hope it's going well for you.
All is going well. I mean, 'tis the season. I mean, my favorite time of the year, right?
Well, I certainly want to wish you and your family all the best for this Christmas holiday.
Well, and for yours as well. Let's talk Donald Trump. Boy, this Trump effect, not only here domestically, but globally, as you and I talked previously, boy, it's really having an effect, whether we're talking about China, you know, a little bit in a wad over a phone call from the Taiwanese president. The Democrats are beside themselves. They're trying to do something in this lame duck session. And then you got Euroskeptics, the light is Italy's Renzi quits. It looks like it's power to the populace, right?
Well, you know, when you and I have chatted about this before, I said that this year, 2016, is comparable to 1848, a year that was sometimes described as the springtime for nations, when in fact there was widespread discontent with political leadership across the world. And we're seeing a lot of that today. Brexit is one example. Of course, what you're seeing in France with Marine Le Pen, and of course the Italian vote very recently with this big five star, now playing a very significant role in Italian politics, which is really an outpouring of dismay over the EU. What it represents is Italians saying, we won Italy for Italians. Now,
exactly.
This is a bit odd since the Italians are very much dependent on the EU to pay the bills. But nonetheless, Italians are Italians. They're very, you know, it's not always serious politics in that country. Not when you have 500 legislators who are trying to make a decision about what happens in a relatively small country. It may be the fourth largest economy in Europe, but it's not always taken seriously when it comes to economic matters. I know that from personal experience because I was interviewed by the largest newspaper in Venice, and I came prepared to the debt that the Italians were laden with. I wanted to talk a little bit about unemployment. I wanted to talk about what's happening in the southern part of the country as opposed to the northern part. And this fellow is sitting with me in Venice at the San Marco, and it's a beautiful scene. And he said, what do you think of this scenery? Which I thought was an odd question to ask because I'm raising a lot of economic questions with him.
Right.
And I said, oh, it's beautiful. I mean, look, this is one of the most glorious spots on the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, oh, my goodness, look at that woman walking by. Isn't she elegant? What a beautiful woman. I said, oh, my God, yes, it's quite a beautiful woman. She looks like an actress.
Right.
And then he said to me, are you enjoying your cappuccino? I said, enjoying my cappuccino. Oh, it's wonderful. This is really a terrific cappuccino.
Yeah, light
said,
conversation.
Now you're thinking like an Italian. Now you're an Italian. And then, I mean, I was flabbergasted. You know, I'm trying to ask serious questions.
Yeah.
This fellow was telling me about the scenery and about the women and about my cappuccino. It was very interesting to me. And this was the editor of the Venetian newspaper.
Quite telling, though, Herb, wasn't it? I mean, he's more distracted. I mean, the building's burning, and he's more distracted by the ambiance.
Well, you know, but it is very Italian. It is very, very Italian. You know,
yes.
It's a wonderful country, and I love Italian people, and I can't tell you how much I enjoy being in Tuscany and in Umbria. I mean, great places on the globe.
Exactly.
When it comes to serious discussion about political matters, it is very interesting that Big Star, the five-star, what I'm calling Big Star, the five-star movement is led by a former comedian who's now gotten involved in politics. Now, one might say that Donald Trump was a former comedian who got involved in politics.
Right.
But there is no question. Now, what you see in Italy is not so unusual for Italians.
Mm-hmm.
What it may mean, however, is that we are seeing the signs of a breakup. The EU has been in existence since 1947, and it could break up into a mere tariff zone. This could happen. The euro is now a virtual parity with the dollar. And so it's lost an awful lot of the weight and clout that it had as a currency. So we are seeing significant changes that are occurring in Europe today. And they may presage changes that are occurring across the globe. There is a lot of discontent on the part of the average guy who for a considerable period feels he hasn't been given adequate political leadership.
Exactly.
People don't recognize him. And I think that this is a very, very widespread movement. Donald Trump captured it in the United States. He became the voice of the disenfranchised, of the forgotten American. And I think you're seeing a little of this in Europe as well.
Yeah, are you better off today than you were 8-10 years ago? And a lot is influencing this. Germany's Merkel is not real happy right now with what's going on because the forecast looks rather bleak for the EU, wouldn't you say?
I'd say it's very bleak. And look, she acted out of a certain kind of compassion to deal with this question of the Syrian migrants coming across the continent. And obviously, the Germans have a very generous social security arrangement. But at the same time, she has to understand that there are limits to compassion.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get that. That's why she was decimated in the local elections. People are saying, look, we want to be compassionate, but how far do we go?
Right.
To what degree does compassion mean we have to undermine our own families, our own society, our own tax structure in order to accommodate those people who are coming into the country? It's a valid question. It's an understandable question. And very often politicians get so caught up in thinking about one condition or one aspect of the culture, they ignore so many other things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I would have said to anyone in the United States, for example, that one of the central issues that you're going to have to confront in North Carolina is where people urinate, you would say to me, are you out of your mind?
Right, exactly.
You've got to be kidding. This is not a serious matter. If I would have said to anyone who has served in combat in the United States, in World War II, in the Korean War, in the Vietnam War, we need women in combat, say, are you crazy?
Right.
And so it's very interesting that what has happened is the people in Washington, D.C. have lost the common sense that the average person understands. Average person realizes these are foolish things, misallocation of time, a misallocation of resources, and yet this is what you're worried about. So this guy who is a steel worker and probably lost his job at Bethlehem and was earning $45 an hour and probably has three kids and is 55 years old, he's saying, why aren't these guys in Washington worrying about me? I'm trying to make my ends meet by taking a job at Walmart for $13 an hour, and you're worrying about where people urinate and Black Lives Matter and all of this craziness? Come on. You've dispensed with common sense. You've lost the sense of what is really important, and I'm ignored in this equation. And I understand the view of this average guy very well. So does Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, when you travel on a plane, you know, they tell you when the oxygen mask drops, you know, the first thing you do is take care of yourself. And we've been a nation that's been very compassionate. We've taken care of others. But now it's to the point where they're saying, hey, look at what about me? I don't mean to be selfish, but hey, it's about time we took care of our families. And you mentioned that one guy who's working at Walmart, but he's working at Walmart and probably two other jobs because, you know, his lifestyle and his family and his expenses still reflect a $45 an hour demanding job. So what is he doing? You know, he's working, you know, 80, 100 hours a week to try to keep up with things. He's cut back every way he possibly can just to survive and hoping that sooner or later, you know, we're going to get some reinforcements and these guys are going to figure this stuff out. You know, clearly they said, hey, they're not figuring it out, so let's get somebody outside that knows about business that has actually signed the front of a check, and let's get him in office and see what happens here. Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research, is with us. More from Herb right after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spell P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Sandy sleigh might fly right on past with all the camouflage around this place. So we bought every string of lights Walmart had. Now he can see the house from outer space. Shot down some ducks and some mistletoe. A lot of love and a pot of gumbo. Hunt you down a Christmas tree. round up your redneck family and watch Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Like Jesus and Santa Claus, we got...
Hey, a little song for the season. Why not, huh? As we continue to have fun here, Bill Martinez live at just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. You know, China warned President-elect Donald Trump on Monday that he was risking a confrontation over Taiwan, even as Mr. Trump broadened the dispute with a new message on Twitter. Him and Twitter, boy, I'll tell you, he's redefining the new concept of promotion and messaging, challenging Beijing's trade policies and military activities in the South China Sea. Oh, yes, by the way, Dr. Herb London is with us, president of the London Center for Policy Research. Herb, what did you think about this, China getting, all excited about this phone call that the president of Taiwan made to Mr. Trump saying congratulations?
Well, look, I think that it was a very important symbolic call, mm-hmm. not because the United States is necessarily going to change policy fundamentally. But what the president is saying to China, we've got a new guy in town and we've got a tabula rasa. So we're going to set policy very differently from the past. The Obama administration allowed you to unilaterally create a near perimeter zone in the South China Sea.
Mm-hmm.
The Obama administration flew a B-52 over the creation of these artificial reefs, which allowed you to put fighter planes into this area. The Obama administration did not back up the international court when it said that the Spratly Islands belonged to the Philippines, not to China. And China said that it was null and void. And so what in one telephone call the president-elect has said to the Chinese is we are going to play by a different set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to negotiate very differently. And we're not simply going to say that the Pacific Ocean is now a Chinese basin. We are still very much involved in policies in Asia, and the United States is going to assert itself. That's what I read in this symbolic telephone call. Now, admittedly, it's only one telephone call. It's not been making a policy, but it suggests a good deal about the direction that the Obama administration, that the Trump administration would like to take.
Exactly.
And I think that it's probably an appropriate direction.
Yeah, he definitely put them on notice. There's no doubt about it. And I think that's what's making them feel uncomfortable. They liked dealing with President Obama, who just, beckoned to every call. And meanwhile, they go ahead and devalue their currency, making it hard for companies to compete here in the United States. They heavily tax our products going into their country. I mean, this is what some people are naive about, Herb, is they don't understand what China is doing to us, but yet we just, leave an open portal for them to have access to our consumer base, and it's not a problem. There's no fair playing field, for us competing in China.
I think that's exactly right. There isn't a fair export and import pool, mm-hmm. in large part because the Chinese want to control the domestic market. So what you have is a tariff that's imposed on American products. American products are very desirable for the Chinese, particularly the Buick, which is the car that's most desired in China.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no doubt that there is a desire to have American products. But the more important point is, of course, the Chinese regarding this area in Asia as the Middle Kingdom, with all of the countries on the periphery being part of the Middle Kingdom.
Right.
Their notion of the Silk Road is to create commercial traffic right across the globe. And their business, their view of the future, is that the United States is on the periphery. Maybe it has a sphere of influence in North America, but no longer plays a role in Asia. And the United States has been a Pacific nation as well as an Atlantic nation. So we've got to once again build a navy that can compete with the Chinese and say, we are going to play a role here.
Exactly.
The international court did rule on the Spratly Islands and in favor of the Philippines. The odd president of the Philippines said, where is the United States backing us up? And we did not. The consequence of that was very significant because Duterte went to China and he said immediately after that decision, it was the wrong decision. We are very much opposed to it. The Chinese said it's null and void. But you know something? You at least have a strong position on this matter, and we want commercial interests, commercial traffic with you, and as a consequence, we're going to join with China.
Yeah.
So the Philippines, a longtime ally of the United States, is now moved closer and closer to China. This is a remarkable development, and virtually no action, no pushback by the Obama administration.
Exactly.
So when Trump says we're going to have a new team in here and we're going to regard activities in Asia very differently, I think it's the right message.
Well, you can't blame the Philippines. I mean, they look at what happened and they see that China's the big brother on the block. Why wouldn't they saddle up with them? Not to mention the fact that this military complex that you referenced just a moment ago in the middle of the South China Sea. I mean, how are you going to dismantle that? I mean, that thing is so far down the road. I mean, we're talking about another Iran comparative nuclear development, going on there in the South China Sea.
Well, I think that it's not going to be very easy to deal with, in large part because the Chinese have more naval vessels in that part of the world than we do.
Mm-hmm.
We have much larger navy than the Chinese, but we cover seven seas. Mm-hmm. They're only concentrating their naval forces, both surface vessels and submarine vessels, in that part of the world. And so they have a certain advantage that we do not have. Is the United States thinking of these islands as a casus belli? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how do we manipulate ourselves? How do we put ourselves in a position where the United States can once again play a role in that part of the world? And I'll tell you how it's done. It's done by creating a multilateral pact with those nations that are very much concerned about Chinese development.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Japanese, and it's the Koreans, and it's the Indonesians, and it's the Australians, and the New Zealanders, and maybe the Indians. They all have military assets. Can we combine those assets with the United States in order to provide some sort of counterweight to whatever adventurism exists in the Chinese military?
Herb, is there something that can be done, I think needs to be done economically, to keep it out of the military, consideration? Because I'm concerned, especially with the South China Sea development, this military complex there, is that, all it takes is one mistake. I mean, we've got U.S. bombers, U.S. Spy planes, reconnaissance planes flying overhead, and China has warned U.S. military more than once that they see this as a military aggression.
Well, I mean, I think that there are dangers. We live in a very fragile world. There are all kinds of possibilities. I mean, the Iran deal is obviously a very dangerous one, not merely for Iran and the United States, but for all of the Sunni nations who are now deeply concerned about what a nuclear weapon in Iran would mean. We live in a very precarious world in Europe, in large part because of the migrant population and the terrorism that exists. We live in a difficult world in the United States, a very fragile world, where, in fact, we do not know how many cells actually exist, that is, terrorist cells exist in the United States, how many people want to murder Americans, of the kind we've seen on 23rd Street in New York, on San Bernardino in Orlando. So, I mean, the world is a fragile place, and we have to understand that. This is very different from the world immediately after World War II, where there appeared to be stability. We're not going to have peace in our time. We very rarely have peace in any time. But we're looking for some form of stability. If Donald Trump, as a result of policies that he institutes, can create a degree of stability in the world, we will all feel much better off. But we're a long way from that, and there's a lot that has to happen between now and the kind of stable world I make reference to.
Well, and your point's well taken here. I call it the grief to happiness ratio, the difference between where we need to be and where we are right now. And, of course, he's having to overcome 8 incredible years of rather confusing foreign policy, and especially with business, with what, and we're only talking China here. We're not talking any of the other nations. And he's got to manage and navigate those waters in such a way to where, we're not igniting something that was unintended.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's quite right. I think what we are living with is a world where there are many unintended consequences that we will have to live with. And it's a fragile world, a very difficult world. And as I said, not unlike all of the assumptions that were challenged in the 19th century, we
exactly.
are living through that again.
Well, Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research. Herb, thank you so much for being with us. It's 29 after the top of the hour right now.
Christmas is a time to be thankful, but when financial hardships hit the small town of Grundy, Virginia...
You put half these people out of work.
I didn't want any of this to happen.
When everything seems lost, hope can find you.
You can call me CJ. We've been praying for you.
This December, believe in miracles around you.
All things are possible to those who believe.
Believe. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. For tickets and information, go to www.believe.film.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shoot yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IBC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IBC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IBC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Getting America back on track.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Yes, the season to remember the tidings of great joy. Chris Gobbis is with us right now. Chris posed as a Muslim convert and then as an intern with the Hamas Organization Council on American Islamic Relations, known as CARE, in Virginia back in 2007. He was then invited by Hamas and CARE leaders to work at their headquarters office in Washington, D.C. The entire story can be found in the book Muslim Mafia, which is available via UTT online store. Chris is now the vice president, Understanding the Threat. I will tell you that UTT, Understanding the Threat, is the only organization in the nation which provides a detailed assessment of the enemy threat in your local area. Chris Gobbis, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, Chris, good to have you back here to really help people understand what is going on, you know, with Hamas and these organizations that are infiltrating the United States. Now, I say infiltrating, and I imagine there's some people that take exception to that. But when you consider what has happened in other parts of the world, that's exactly what it's come down to, where they've taken over communities and you have no-go zones and Sharia is the order of the day and the law that they want enforced, not the laws of the land in which you know, they were, you know, at first visitors, if not migrants, and now they're taking control. And so all you can do is look at the pattern and say, if not there, why not here in the United States?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Bill. The Muslim Brotherhood, as I testified before U.S. Senate hearing this summer, is no different than Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Boko Haram, the Islamic State, all these jihadi groups, they state per their own bylaws that their purpose is to establish an Islamic state under Sharia. So when your listeners hear the word Muslim Brotherhood, associate that with Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, because they are no different. The difference is that our government has been using the Muslim Brotherhood as Islamic advisors to help us defeat other jihadis, which using jihadis to defeat jihadis is not a sound strategy.
Exactly. Well, Chris, with the bifurcation of these Islamic interests, are they going to come together at some point, or is it kind of the game of survivor amongst these radicals?
Well, they already do come together. That's one of the a notion that people have, that these groups are competing. They're all part of the global Islamic movement. Mm-hmm. Now, they do have different interests. And look, when we talk about an Islamic state, there's never a question of that amongst jihadi groups that there should be an Islamic state under Sharia. The question is always who's going to be in charge. So they will work together to form Islamic states all over the world, and then, of course, a global Islamic caliphate. Who's going to be in charge of that? That's where the fighting amongst themselves begins.
Exactly. Well, that's what I see as the last man standing, and the game of survivor is when it gets to that head. Clearly, they continue to move the ball forward and take on more more areas, and certainly covering more land here in the United States. Gary Bauer just wrote an opinion piece in the Daily Caller and talked about how these Muslims are using our immigration policies against us.
Absolutely. Look, they'll use any tool they can against us, whether it's immigration policy, whether it's our counterterrorism lexicon and training. Let me give you an example on that. So a real-world application of how these guys are infiltrating our system. And the 9/11 Commission report came out, and they used terms to describe the event like jihad and Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Muslim Brotherhood groups wrote a letter saying that offended Muslims. So what did we do? The 2009 FBI counterterrorism lexicon purged all terms like jihad and Sharia out of their training materials. So how do you defeat an enemy that you won't even identify?
Exactly. But we have people involved in our government who have access to national security information who are associated. They are card-carrying Muslim Brotherhood individuals. And this, according to Trevor Loudon in his now released documentary called Enemies Within. Our own government has been infiltrated, and the information they have available to them, it's quite astounding. I mean, you talk about, forget about sleeping with the enemy anymore. I mean, it's gone to the next level.
Absolutely. In 2004, the FBI raided Ismail El-Barassi's home. He was wanted for a Hamas warrant in Chicago, and they found a treasure trove of Muslim Brotherhood documents. And one of those documents was the explanatory memorandum, which outlined the Muslim Brotherhood's plan to establish an Islamic state in America. This isn't new for them, though. They've been working at this. This will surprise a lot of people, but they've been working at this since the 60s.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
They're not new at this. And one of their goals was to establish a shadow government. And they have done a remarkable job of infiltrating various sectors of the government to gather intelligence and to use our own government to achieve their foreign policy interests abroad, and also by instituting programs like countering violent extremism to set up the government for failure when it comes to investigating jihadis.
Well, Chris, I know this is a bit controversial, and people have questioned, and every once in a while you'll hear an utterance that, President Obama is Muslim. I said, I don't know if he's Muslim or not, but he's very Muslim sympathetic. And in that area of sympathy, it's definitely extended to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, after all, his half-brother is, I guess one of the leaders within the Muslim Brotherhood. That's been noted time and again, and then, as I mentioned, with the research and the revelations of Trevor Loudon and the Enemies Within, I mean, we are greatly infiltrated. So is it any wonder that our language in the name of political correctness and oversensitivity to this, this infiltration has gotten to the point that, people are wondering, okay, what is going on? And this is why, I believe one of the reasons why the election came out in the way in which it did is that people are tired of being exposed and made vulnerable by the very people they've elected into office that are supposedly supposed to protect us, right?
Absolutely. Look, one of the things that we find when we travel the country and we train law enforcement, or we do seminars and programs for civilians, is that the people in America, flyover country, if you will, they get this issue. They get that there's a problem. They may not understand the intricacies of it, but they understand that there's a problem. It's been a failure by our leadership on both sides of the aisle to address this issue. I have a feeling, though, that that's about to change come January 2017. But the people understand this. They know something's not right. It's our leaders that, through political correctness, have failed to address it.
Exactly. Well, Chris, when you consider that two-thirds of those convicted on terrorism-related charges since 9/11 were foreign-born, what does that tell you?
It tells me that we need to address our refugee situation yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have to stop worrying about offending people. The bottom line is our enemy, 100%, says that they're fighting to establish an Islamic state under Sharia. We need to address that through our immigration and refugee policies. There's no reason to have people coming over into our country that have a stated purpose of overthrowing our government.
Well, and relative to that, I mean, you wrote about Bernie Sanders wanting a Muslim Brotherhood sympathizer to lead the Democratic Party, and Keith Ellison, boy, have we come a long way, and we're really going into this with our eyes wide open and leaving ourselves very vulnerable here, aren't we, Chris?
Absolutely.
Well, Chris Gobbets has been with us. Chris, thank you so much. His book, The Muslim Mafia, where can they go and access your book, Chris?
It's in our store at understandingthethreat.com.
There it is. Chris Gobbets on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. It's just about 18 before the top of the hour right now. We've got more coming up. Stay right where you are, America.
This report is brought to you by the Salvation Army. Following its most successful fundraising campaign to date, the Salvation Army wants Americans to keep sharing their reasons for giving during this year's Red Kettle campaign using hashtag Red Kettle Reason. Supporters can visit redkettlereason.org to start their own hashtag Red Kettle Reason fundraisers and designate the cause area they'd like their contribution to support, from hunger and shelter to Christmas assistance. Eric Church will take the stage for a nationally televised live halftime performance during the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving Day game to signify the official kickoff of the Red Kettle campaign. This marks the 20th anniversary of the partnership between the Dallas Cowboys and the Salvation Army. David Jeffrey, National Commander, the Salvation Army.
As we kick off this year's season of giving, we're especially thankful for our 20 years of partnership with the Dallas Cowboys and the more than $2 billion raised during that time that helps the Salvation Army live out our mission to meet human need wherever necessary.
For more, visit redkettlereason.org.
This report is brought to you by FICO. Holiday season is finally here. That means more time with loved ones, more delicious food on our plates, and even more spending at every corner. But did you know that under-budgeting your holiday plans could put your credit score on the naughty list? Financial expert Manisha Thakur has a few tips on how to stay on top of your credit score and keep your holiday season festive without breaking your bank.
It's really important to know where your credit stands before you start making that gift list. Start by checking your FICO score online to lay the foundations for a realistic budget that you can stick to. And consider paying down credit balances as utilization counts for 30% of your score. New credit cards also affect your FICO score, so be sure to shy away from those tempting store accounts. Most importantly, keep an eye out for any suspicious activity causing mischief on your account. That way, your holiday giving can be generous and responsible.
For more holiday tips, visit www.ficoscore.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
We the people.
When I used to live in San Diego, there was a family that adopted us for Christmas, and they brought us a whole bunch of presents, and they filled out our Christmas tree.
When I was a kid, I'd always wake my parents up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and go and open presents.
First Christmas at home with my children. It's the first time I've been around a family environment in a long time, so it felt good to have it.
Listen to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you. 14 before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. And we've got Brigadier General A.J. Tony Tata, U.S. Army. He's retired, a Trump supporter and author of the novel 3 Minutes to Midnight. General, good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Great to be with you, Bill. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much. General, help us understand, if you would. There seemed to be a bit of a divide between the flag officers regarding Donald Trump. And it seemed like, and maybe it's just my observation, so I could be wrong, so I could stand corrected. After all, you rank higher than me, and I will yield to you very easily, sir. But, you know, why is it that the retired flag officers seem to align more in number with Donald Trump than those that are currently active?
Well, I think those that are currently active still have the oppressive Obama machine with the jackboot on their neck. So they're not going to come out and say that they support X or Y for the most part. And so amongst the retired military personnel, flag officers being who we're talking about, you're going to see a typical divide between some liberals, but mostly conservatives and mostly those that are sort of unaffiliated in the middle, as most of us were throughout our careers, that having watched 8 years of feckless, wandering foreign policy from Obama and his team, are finally glad that somebody is being decisive and is picking the right people and shows respect instead of contempt for the military. And I think that's what you're seeing with, the retired flag officer support of Donald Trump and in general. I mean, he's had several Medal of Honor recipients step forward. He's had several others, of all ranks step forward. You know, of course, millions of veterans supported him, and his picks are bearing out his respect for the military. I would say that with Mike Flynn, I know Mike very well. We operated together on the battlefield. He was a premier intelligence officer with Joint Special Operations Command and other units. When I was deputy commanding general in Afghanistan, we often talked about the enemy situation. He has a very tactile feel for the global enemies that we face. And he works very closely worked very closely with General Mattis when General Mattis was CENTCOM commander. And so with Mattis, what you got is a guy who understands the world, knows world leaders, and understands that we have abandoned this policy that we forever have had about identifying vital U.S. interests, identifying threats to those U.S. interests, and then scaling a force to address those threats to make America and its allies more secure, to protect the world for democracy and capitalism. That has been sort of the Marshall Plan since World War II, at least. Yeah, so, and Obama abandoned that. Obama's foreign policy position as a weaker America makes for a stronger world. It's sort of the NFL draft approach to things. You know, if we're doing great, then everybody else ought to get the first pick. Let's apologize and see if that helps. And you know, that doesn't resonate well with people who are making decisions every day, flag officers and even non-commissioned officers and you know, field grade and company grade officers. You know, they're entrusted with decisions every single day, life or death types of things. And you get a waffling, ambiguous foreign policy born of Jeremiah Wright's hate America church. And that's what Obama believes. He, in his very core, believes America is the center and has wreaked havoc on the world, and we need to just shackle America's strength, and everything else will grow and bloom and be rosy. And he's wrong.
Yeah, it would seem that way. That his worldview and his responsibility in terms of his legacy was to level the playing field. But when it comes to the military, we don't want a level playing field, do we?
No, not exactly. he is all about sort of making everything fair, and this is the, you know, what he believes. You know, the whole, you could pick any example. He's getting ready to make a speech in Tampa at the Central Command, where Mattis was the commander, so it's sort of a, you know, finger in the eye.
Right.
And you know, it's intentional, and that's how he is. He's arrogant, and he's petulant and petty, and so he's going to go make this speech about his foreign policy, and I'm like, well, you know, that ought to be about 2 minutes, you know, because he's and how he has countered the terror threat, and you know, the military has been nothing, Bill, but a marketing campaign for him. The Navy SEALs and Task Force 160th Army Special Operations Aviation Regiment kill Bin Laden. He gets out there with a knife in his teeth and takes credit for it, and you know, high fives everybody and chest bumps. He gets credit for making the decision to tell them to go. Okay, so that, you know, to the extent that that was risky from the Situation Room for him, you know, good on him. But any president would have been negligent not to work on that actionable intelligence. So he wasn't.
We already know we had one president that ignored some actionable information and failed to go after Osama bin Laden. What, 10 years? At least 10 years earlier.
Yeah, Bill Clinton. Right.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so I think the flag officer perspective. You know, we are entrusted with so much treasure, both monetary but mostly human.
Yes.
You know, America's sons and daughters, and we're giving them to train, equip, and take to combat to defend our country and bring them back as in good a shape as possible. And with Obama, we've been having our hands tied behind our backs, and it's just really been a challenge and frustrating. So I think what you're going to see is this. I know my friends in the Pentagon and deployed around the world in Iraq and Afghanistan are quietly. It's kind of like the Trump voter, right? You know, a lot of people didn't want to say they were voting for Trump. They're just quietly hanging on and keeping their powder dry. And they're excited that they're going to have a man that is decisive and will identify our enemy.
Right. Well, that was my question. Yeah, that was my question to you, General, is that with the announcement of Marine General James Mattis as Secretary of Defense, it seemed to be quite a positive shot in the arm of the military at large.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, the military can expect to have more resources. Our veterans can be expect to be taken care of. I mean, Obama so hates the military that when he brought them all back from Afghanistan and Iraq and took credit for all of that, he didn't take care of them in the Veterans Administration. And it's been this sort of, you know, he fires the four-star he put in charge of that, Eric Shinseki, and so he gets credit for, you know, it's a publicity event again. And then he puts some dude in there, and there's been, you know, marginal change, and it's still a scandal. And it's the one thing that I felt didn't get enough play during the campaign was
exactly.
the scandal that, you know, about Veterans Affairs. And that's what Obama ought to be talking about, his failure and what he would do differently. And, but he doesn't care. He doesn't have, he cares more about shoring up his legacy in the face of overwhelming defeat and rejection at the polls nationwide. And so what we've got is a guy who's trying to put some marks on the wall and be his own PR machine, and that's really all he's done. You talk about the most unprepared individual in the country to ever take the presidency. It's Obama. Right. You know, at least you know, Trump has decision making. He's a successful businessman, and you look at his transition that's going on, and I'm very impressed with the transition team and everything that they're doing. Obama was a 2-year U.S. senator,
junior senator,
guy that,
right?
Yeah, that never voted. He was absent more than he was there, and you know, just all the stars aligned for him. And he had no foreign policy experience, had no military experience, no nothing. And you know, you hear this talk about how Trump says NATO must pay their fair share. Daggone right they should. I mean, I dealt with NATO nations all my career, and the frustration of trying to get their governments, the people in the militaries there, are good people, and the diplomats are good people, but their governments do not support them to the extent that they should in all of these NATO and what's called out of area operations. And Obama has not, you know, France has been attacked, Belgium's been attacked, Turkey's been attacked, Greece's been attacked, and the U.S. has been attacked, and nobody's talked. Obama has not talked about enacting Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty, which attack against one is attack against all.
Exactly.
To declare war on Islamic extremism, as they did for us
right
after 9/11.
Well, General, we're all out of time here. Appreciate the insight. Got to have you back because I want to talk about our rules of engagement next time we get together. Brigadier General Tony Tata on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, General. Appreciate it. 3 minutes before the top of the hour right now.
Hi, my name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I have been taking adrenal supplements including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. Then noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.